in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men who are come to thee, who are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I knew not from where they came." And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they who pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window by which thou didst let us down, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the door of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be free of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window, and they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Let us pray. Loving Father, we do thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Thank you, Father, for all that you that pertains unto life and godliness, and of the true work of God on the behalf of your people, and how that you truly did work to reveal unto the spies the true nature of the hearts of the people and of the courage that they needed, that they might truly trust you, Lord, to know the victory which they truly did desire over that country and that land. Pray your blessing, Father, upon us this day, that we may also know the victory that we have in Jesus our Lord. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I suppose each of us have seen a football game, a basketball game, a soccer game, or a tennis match or something like that. But one of the things that we note about most of the sports is that though the athletes are very well prepared, and you can't really say that most of these professional athletes are not well prepared. That's their business. They go out and they exercise and they come together and they do practice games on all of these various kinds of sports, and they're very professional people and very fit people. But there's one thing that we note about these games is that the battle is won many times through the coach and how he brings the game to the players and causes them to really say to themselves, we can win the game! We can do it! We have the plays, we have the courage, we have the fortitude, and though the other opposing team is very accomplished in every way, one team wins over the other, yes, for a number of reasons, but primarily because they believe they can do it. That's why they win, because both teams are very well practiced. Both teams are very fit. Both teams are ready to battle and have all that courage which is needed. Well, I think we see something similar going on here in the book of Joshua. I titled this, Go and View the Land, because there were two spies that were to go in to view the land. Joshua was already promised that the land was theirs. God already promised Joshua that he was to take the children of Israel over the Jordan, that they were to take Jericho, but not just Jericho, they were to take the whole land. They were to take the promised land. They were to receive the victory as they trusted in God. It was theirs. God promised it to them. There was no question about it. And so as these spies go across the River Jordan into Jericho, what is it that they were accomplishing? These are not the 12 that were sent before, and 10 came back with a negative report, and two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, we can go in and we can take the land. No, these are not those spies. These are just two who go and reconnoiter, as it were. They go in covertly, and they want to check things out before they actually go over the river and they defeat the enemy. But as they go, what are they looking for? They're really kind of scoping the situation out to see what the attitude, what the view of the people was concerning them coming. You know, what did they think about it? And as we remember that Canaan is really a picture of the victorious Christian life, you know, what is your view when you set out to live for God, when you set out to honor Christ, when you set out to be that Christian, that is that disciple of Christ, that is going to truly bless God in the things that you do, what is your view? Do you see the enemy as having a heart that is melted before the Lord because of great fear? That is the view that the spies found when they went into the land of Canaan, when they went into the city of Jericho. The hearts of the people had melted for fear. And so they knew immediately that they could go up and take the city. That the battle was already won. You know, it's just like that football team that knows that they can win, and they go out against the opposing team and they just sweep the whole football plays and win the game because they already know that the other team is, they just don't have what it takes mentally to do it. Maybe physically they do, but not mentally. They're not up to it. And you know, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is our view when it comes to living the Christian life? Are we up to it? Do we have the right attitude about living the Christian life? Well, let's look at some of this here and see how it was going with the spies being sent up by Joshua unto the land. In verse 1 and 2, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Now, this is kind of unusual, too. I mean, it's like, why did they go to Rahab's house? Generally, the consensus is, well, they would be less noticed there. She had a lot of people coming and going into her house, and she is an immoral person, and I guess perhaps a lot of traffic. So they just decided they would go there and they would see what the common people were doing, what they were saying, how that they were feeling the situation out. Because they already knew. That is, the country of Canaan already knew about Joshua, about Moses. They knew about the Red Sea. They knew about the battles that they had already faced. They already knew this. And it had troubled them greatly. And so we find that the view of what the people were thinking was very important to Joshua. Joshua didn't send those two spies up there to find out how many swords they had, or how many spears they had, or if they had rocks to throw at them from the top of the wall or something, or whether they had a fire brigade ready to pour fire and oil down on top of them or something. No, that wasn't the reason they went. They went there to see what the hearts of the people were. Whether they was ready to go to battle against them and felt like they could win the battle. Because the battle is either won or lost based upon one's relationship to that important area of courage that a person might have. And we have to ask ourselves, what is our view when it comes to living the Christian life? Do we feel like we can do it? Do we believe God is with us? Are we ready to go as onward Christian soldiers? Are we ready to stand and fight the battle? The king of Jericho was aware that strangers were among them. Even the king knew about it. Look at verse 3. "And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men who are come to thee, who are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out all the country." The king knew it already. How did he know? Well, of course, they had to come through the gate of the city. Jericho had this huge wall all the way around it. It was a fortified city, which was typical of the cities of that particular time and period. That if they were major cities, then they were fortified cities. Many of them had huge walls, and they all had gates that was barred. and somebody was there. There were guards there. They were watching people going in and coming out. Why? Well, they had to. I mean, they were constantly under threat that somebody was going to come and try to defeat them. Even these cities in Canaan were like that. And so we find that these strangers came through the gate, and the guard says, wait a minute, these look like Israelites to us. And we have heard what the Israelites are up to. They want to come and they want to take the whole land of Canaan. Look what they've already done. They've crossed the Red Sea. And God, the God of Israel, parted the sea, and they just walked right across. And miracles have been done. And what are we going to do? And so they immediately ran. They told the king. And the king says, where did they go to? Well, they went to Rahab's house. You know, she's the one, she lives on the wall. There's a lot of people go to her house. And she's, you got to check that out. And so the king sent unto Rahab. Oh, he didn't go himself, but he sent somebody. He says his messengers, his guards, those who were in, he had left in charge of that, he sent them unto Rahab. And they begin to ask the questions. What are they doing here? And what did Rahab do? Well, verse 4, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I knew not from where they were. Well, you can say, well, she's not exactly telling the truth. Well, she's not an Israelite either. She's a Canaanite. Remember, she is an immoral person. She's already living on the dark side of life. Why should she care if she tells another little lie? But anyway, she has a reason for doing this. You know, people are quite self-serving. You know, they want to preserve their own life and their own family. So Rahab has a view, too. The king's view, he wants to know what these men are doing coming into his city. Rahab's view is she wants to know how she's going to preserve her family, herself and her family. And so as we read on, what does she do? Well, she conceals them. She doesn't tell the truth to these guards who come. Verse 6, but she brought them up to the roof, the top of the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof, and the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan, unto the fords, and as soon as they who pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So it's kind of the first part of this story kind of summarizes what took place. The men came, they were found out by the king. Rahab lied to the guards, so she wouldn't tell them what was going on here. She takes the men up on the roof. She hides them in the flax. They're reed-like material, which was used for various purposes in that day. And she hid them under the flax. And the guards, they pursued after the men, supposedly, and the men were right there with her all the time. And now there is this discourse which begins to unfold in relationship to the men and Rahab. And her view is how she is going to preserve her life and the life of her family. And why? Because she believes the stories that were told. She believes that the God of Israel was greater than the gods, plural, of Canaan. She believes that. She believes that Israel's God is greater than their gods. Now, I suppose this might be the first thing that we want to recognize. Do we believe that our God is greater than the gods of the world? Do we believe that? Well, then, We need to go ahead with that view when we come to living for the Lord, don't we? If our God is greater than the gods of the world, then, well, we have an advantage here. We need to live in light of that view which God has revealed to us, that God, who is the God of heaven and earth, the God who sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins according to the Scriptures, that same one, Jesus, who the anointed Christ who came and suffered for our sins, has provided a way for us to live the victorious Christian life and to honor him and to be victorious over the things of this world. And so we have an advantage. Rahab had an advantage, and she believed that she only needed to make a deal. We just need to make a deal, she says. And so we find in verse 8, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Oh, there it is right there. That's all they needed to know. That's all those two men needed to know. Everybody's afraid of us. We have the advantage. And we can go back now and we can tell Joshua that they're all running scared. They're all in a panic. And we can win over Jericho very, very easily. There's no problem here. Well, you know, fear has a way of really getting to people, doesn't it? Did you just hear this news on the television that there was a false report concerning a ballistic missile that was to hit Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands? And people panicked immediately. They just went into a state of panic. But it turned out to be a false thing. But not too long ago, a few days ago, well, the CDC came out with this report that we should be preparing because, we aren't really saying that it has anything to do with North Korea, but in the case of a nuclear war, we should be preparing. And I find it interesting that the government is beginning to send out these little messages, don't you? I find that interesting. But you know, if the hearts of the people melt for fear, what can they do? They can only panic and run. But when we realize that God, that the Lord our God, He is greater than the gods of this world, we have an advantage. Because why? We trust in the Lord our God. We trust in Him. And even if the Lord should cause some catastrophe to happen, what happens to those who believe and trust in the Lord? Well, we go home to be with the Lord. Even if the worst happens, those who do not know the Lord, they not only panic and their hearts melt for fear, but they're in a terrible state or condition before God, and only judgment can befall them. Well, here is Jericho. It's in a state of panic. Even the king seemed to be panicking. Only two men came through his gates, and he sends out his messengers to find out where they are because he thinks that somehow they are there to do harm to them somehow. And so he's panicking, and the people are panicking, and Rahab knows this, and so Rahab's view is that Israel's God is greater than the Canaanite gods. And I think that's a good thing that we realize, that our God is greater. The Lord our God is greater than the gods of this world. There are many gods in this world, of course. There are gods of finance, there's the gods of lust and various kinds of enjoyments. There's various kinds of religious gods, and not only that, there are the philosophies of men, the gods of the philosophies of men, who continue to pour out their propaganda, saying that what they believe is the truth, and that we are bound to it. Gods of education, who are against the word of God. There are many different gods in the world. Where is our victory? It is in Christ. Our victory is in the Lord our God. It is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, who is our Savior. Christ, who is the anointed one of God. And the Lord, who is our true Master and Savior. Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one wherein we have the victory. And so we see in verses 13 and 14, Rahab wants to have some promise from the spies that they will be preserved. Verse 13, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Rahab wanted some assurances. Well, we find that was good. That was appropriate. She was willing to, as it were, stick her neck out for them. And she should be able to require something of them when it came time for the invasion, the Israelite army to come and to take the city. And so she looked to these spies who came in the name of the Lord to give a good word to her of how she and her family might be preserved and be kept alive. And so the view of the men was that the Lord had delivered Jericho and all the country into their hands. Now, again, as we look at this passage, we find that all of this begins to unfold as the spies talk to Rahab. She's the only one that they are talking to. See, they couldn't go out and take a survey in town. That would be a little bit presumptuous. They would be immediately taken and thrown into prison. There were no newspapers that they might find out what the people were saying. There was no way for them to know but to talk to somebody who was connected with everybody in town. And Rahab was well connected. She wasn't a politician, but she was well connected. She lived on the wall, after all. And so, you know, all of the news that came by her was heard. The guards, there was a lot of people who were patrolling the wall. And who were they? Soldiers? Who were the soldiers? The common people. Her house was visited frequently. And so she heard a lot of things going on. She got the daily news. And if the soldiers were afraid of what was going to happen, then the people would be afraid out in the city as well. And so she was kind of the contact point. She was right in the hub of the news and the heartbeat of the city. And the spies were listening. As we look at verses 15 to 24, then she let down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward that you may go your way. Well, this is an interesting kind of characterization of how did these men escape. They didn't escape by going through the wall somewhere. They went over the wall. Rahab was on the wall. Her house was there. And one can only imagine what that might mean. But however the building of the wall was, it accommodated evidently a certain amount of houses to be on the wall. And Rahab simply let down a rope, described here as a scarlet rope. Now, was it actually red? I don't know if it was red so much, but it was a rope of salvation. It was a rope of salvation. And we know that then it is a type of the salvation that comes from God. And as we kind of look forward in the scriptures, we find Christ himself as that one who died for the sins of the world. And he is the salvation of all those who believe in the Lord our God and trust in him. So what does she do? She lets down the scarlet rope, as it were, that they might escape. And verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. And by the way, it doesn't mean it's a thread in the sense that we normally think of a thread. But here is the rope that she lets down. She lets down a cord in verse 15. It is, so it's big enough to hold them. The scarlet thread, well, I suppose one might say, well, this is a very thin thread of salvation. It's only a rope hanging off the wall. Kind of precarious. You might think, well, how high was the wall? Well, it could have been 50 or 100 feet high. And they were going down over the wall just on this little thin rope, on this one strand of rope, as it were, and that was their salvation. And so God the Holy Spirit uses the term here, bind this line of scarlet thread in the window by which thou didst let us down, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the fathers. You know, the world views salvation as a very thin thread. Why? Because it's exclusive. This is the only means of salvation. The only means of salvation for those two was a rope hanging over the wall. The only means of salvation we have is Jesus. The only means of salvation we have is God sent his only begotten Son. He didn't tell us, well, we could add some works to it. He didn't tell us we'd have to join a certain church. He didn't tell us we'd have to look like a certain kind of people. He didn't tell us we'd have to be a part of a certain strata in society. Wow, no, I guess not. I mean, Rahab wasn't exactly on the top of the strata of society. You talk about a thin thread of salvation. Jesus Christ is a thin thread of salvation as far as the world is concerned. It's fact, it's like, you mean that's the only thing there is? It's just Jesus to be saved? Well, I thought I could do this, or I thought I could join that church, or I thought I could have this religion. I thought I could think this way, or know how, have this philosophy. I mean, the world wants to have a lot of different things to get saved by. It's called universalism. You know, they want to believe in just about anything they want. But no, this thin thread of salvation is Christ. And that is the only thing that's going to save Rahab and her family. And if we use Rahab and her family as kind of a model for those who get saved, then it's not many mighty, it's not many noble, it's not many rich, it's not many well-educated, it's not many who are on the higher strata in society that were looked upon as very important people. No, God calls those who are of the lowest in society many times, the baser people. In other words, common people. In other words, you don't have to be of a certain strata in society to get saved. You don't have to have a certain amount of money in the bank to be saved. You don't even have to be, quote-unquote, so moral to be saved. God saves whomsoever he will. God chooses whomsoever he will. The salvation of God is a thin thread. And they wanted this thin thread hung in the window that they might know where that they could preserve that people of God. Because Rahab was now believing in the true and living God. Say, well, she hadn't been schooled in all the Levitical laws, or she hadn't taken up all the rites and ceremonies that Moses required, and so on and so forth. No, that's true. She hadn't. The only thing she was doing is believing. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. verse 19, "And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in his house, his blood shall be on our head, if any man be, if any hand be upon him." And so there were several kind of addendums that the two spies said to Rahab. First of all, "Swear to me by the Lord your God." That's what she required. She says, if I know you swear by the Lord your God, then you're going to do it. Because the Lord your God is the one who brought you out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and defeated the Amorites on the other side of the river. And I know that if you swear by your God, you are telling the truth. And what did they say? "We will swear if you keep your word, tell no one, and if you keep your family in your house, no harm will be done to them." So they require something of her too. They said, you've got to keep your word, and you've got to keep your family inside of your house, and we will even promise our lives if we do not do what we have said. And she let them down over the wall on that scarlet thread, as it were, of redemption that was promised. But it was the word of God. All we need is the word of God. It is our scarlet thread of redemption. But it is so strong that none can defeat. None can defeat it. For the Lord our God is truly great and greatly to be praised. He is the God of salvation. The view of the men finally was that the Lord had delivered Jericho and all their country into their hands. Look at verse 24. "And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land." Not just Jericho. All the land. We should take note of that. They went in to spy out Jericho to find out what the attitude was there, what the view and opinion of that was there. But once they got there, they said, it's not just Jericho. Everybody in the land of Canaan has hearts that are melting in fear of us. We can take the whole land. You know, as we live out our Christian lives, we ought to live with such confident faith, realizing that the Lord our God is the one who has brought us through and has provided for us, providing salvation to us, that He is the one who goes before us. He is the one who gives us courage and strength that we might go forward for Him. And this year, as we move ahead for the Lord, we have to keep reminding ourselves of this very thing. Yes, the spies went into the land and Joshua sent them. And they were to go and they were to find out what the attitude of the people is. But we know that the Lord had already promised Joshua and the children of Israel the land. It had already been promised. God has promised us victory also through Christ our Lord. And so, what are we going to do? Are we going to go forward with great courage, realizing that God truly does go ahead of us in the battle and prepare the way for us? Just as He was going ahead of Joshua, preparing the battle for them, and that they would win the well-fought day. And so, let us just close with that thought, that we also need to trust the Lord, because the Lord, He is God, and He is greater than the gods of this world. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank You for Your grace and mercies to us. Thank You, Father, that You have provided the scarlet thread of redemption in Your word. Thank You that the cord of salvation is so strong that we need not fear, that we will be fully carried over the wall, as it were, and placed safely that we might be known as the people of God, and that you would bless us and encourage us and fortify us against the enemy. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.